Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is wonderful to have you here for another episode of the show. Now, if you've not yet downloaded our report, which is called How to Build a High Performance Dental Practice, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and grab it. All you need to do is head across to SavvyDentist.com/high-performance-report. Download the report. It's totally free and it's going to give you lots of strategies and tactics and ideas to take your practice to the next level so you can have more time, more patience, and a whole lot less stress in your practice. So you're going to be able to take your practice to the next level without actually having to spend more time in the business. So you're going to love it. So head across to SavvyDentist.com/high-performance-report and it's yours totally free. Now, my guest today is Ari Galpin. Ari is someone who I've known about for many years. He's world famous, very literally world famous, for helping people get away from that traditional icky, yucky, pushy selling and embrace what we call trust-based selling. And Ari has got a ton of resources, lots of books, lots of material at his website called unlockthegame.com. And of course, what we're going to be talking about in this episode are the strategies, the myths, the principles, all of those things that go into trust-based selling. And what you're going to realize is you're going to finally have permission to stop trying to achieve outcomes, to stop feel like you're pushing, to stop feel like you're driving a process forward and rather building trust instead. And once you've got that understood and embedded, you're going to feel this incredible sense of relief because, you know, all you really need to be is you. You just get to be your authentic self and you don't need to be anything that you're not or anyone that you're not. And that's so contrary to what traditional selling has been. And really, this is a paradigm shift. It's going to allow you to think differently about your patients. It's going to allow you to think differently about your approach to dentistry. And it's going to give you not just more patients and more treatment, it's going to give you a much greater sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. So if you want to find out more about Ari, again, head across to unlockthegame.com, or if you're interested, head across to LinkedIn and you can find him doing his live stream there, which is called Stump the Guru, where you get to ask him a question in real time and he'll answer that for you. But for now, here's Ari Galpa. Ari Galpa, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join us on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How's things in Sydney today, my friend?
Really good, actually. Sunny outside. So far, so good. And thanks for having me, Jesse. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. I've been following your work for many years now, and I've seen some of the circles that we've mixed in over the past few years have overlapped. So I've always been curious to get to meet you. So I'm really glad that you're here. Now, Ari, you're really well known in the world of trust-based selling. You've built an enormous career around that. You've got an enormous presence around that. And trust-based selling is not a term that many of us would have been familiar with necessarily. And I was wondering if we could just start our conversation by asking exactly what is trust-based selling as compared to traditional selling and maybe what even is selling to start with.
Sure. So as most people know, when they think about the word selling, they imagine a one-way direction of communicating with someone, which is explaining, persuading, convincing, moving somebody from point A to point B. Whether it's subtle or not subtle or aggressive or not aggressive, the point is we've been taught to believe selling is all about the end goal of the sale, to move someone towards that end goal. So our approach that we codified two decades ago, I can't believe it's been that long, is the opposite of that. And we call it trust-based selling, where you let go of the goal of the sale. It does not exist. Your goal is not to move them forward. Your goal instead is to go down, not forward, and build deep trust with them, where they feel comfortable enough with you and they have a sense of, he just understands me. He gets me. Something about him, it just feels right. And then on their own, they move forward. So it's very much a shift in mindset and transformation of one's thinking and redefining what selling is in a different way.
You know, if you've been in the world of sales, and in dentistry, we use with case acceptance in lieu of sales. But again, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck. At what point did you journey into trust-based selling? Was there something that happened or was there an awakening or a dawning? What was that moment for you when you went, hang on, I've got to make a change or a shift here?
there was a moment, a dramatic one. And I'll share with you. There's a trigger here that occurred to me two decades ago when I was a sales manager in a software company. And I managed 18 salespeople underneath me at the time. Mm-hmm. We launched the first online website tracking tools. Now it's called Google Analytics. And I sure heard that before. But back then, actually, it's free now. But back then, it cost money. And first one out the gate with that product. And we're really landing some large opportunities. And the big opportunities came across my desk first. And this one company called in. I got the phone call. Huge lead. Lots of websites. You'd recognize the name of the company. And nice contact. We had a great conversation. The gentleman agrees to a conference call and a demo to see our product. He scheduled he and I a week later. And if I closed this one sale, Jesse, it would double the turnover of the company in one go. That's how big it was. It was a big opportunity. So the day finally came, Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was in my conference room with my CEO and I closed the door behind me, big long conference table. In the middle of the table is the old school speaker phones, you know, the Star Trek looking three-leg kind of phone systems. Yep. And so I hit the dial tone, I dialed the number and the phone rang. My contact picks it up. And he says to me, "Hey, Ari," I said, "Hey, how's it going? Good, quick chat." And he says to me, "Ari, let us tell you who's with us here on the line today." And I was like, "Oh, great. Didn't know there was someone else there." Next thing I hear is, "My name is Michael. I'm CEO." I was like, "Ooh, this is good. My name is Chris. I'm head of global IT." This is even better. "My name is Julie. I'm head of marketing." Amazing. I mean, everybody on this call was a decision maker.
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen today because they're all there. So I introduced myself, described what we do, then I had them all log in to the web to show them a demo of what we do on their websites. And I started to click around and show them how all the software works. And I started hearing this noise on the phone call like, "Wow, this is great. This is fantastic. This is amazing." They started asking me all kinds of questions. How does it work? How do you install it? Who are your clients? And of course, I had all the answers. I mean, there was so much chemistry on this phone call. It was like a love fest on the phone.
Okay, all right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. And I've got a feeling it's going to unravel spectacularly.
Well, we'll see. And the chemistry is wonderful. They were asking me all kinds of questions. And I was doing everything by the book that I was taught over the years in selling. Hmm. Building relationships, answering objections, trial closing, being informative, educating, everything I was taught to do to create momentum. And the call comes to a close an hour later and my contact says to me, "Ari, we love this. Look, give us a call a couple of weeks, follow up with us, and we'll move this thing forward." I said to myself, "Oh, thank you, God. I was so happy, you know." And I said my goodbyes. And I took my hand to reach for the speakerphone on the off button. As I'm reaching for the off button, by complete accident, I say by divine intervention, I hit the mute button instead of the off button. They were right next to each other. And a small click happened, and they thought I hung up the phone.
Oh, wow.
In that split second, a voice inside of me said, "Ari, go to the dark side. Be a fly in the wall. Go where no one's ever gone before in the world of sales. Listen in just for a couple of seconds. You got nothing to lose." So I pulled my thumb back for a couple of moments. They started talking amongst themselves, thinking I had left the call. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a trick question, but what would you imagine you would have heard after a call like that? What would you expect?
Oh, well, you would have been expecting, "Yeah, wow, that's amazing. What a good guy. He knew his product. This could really help us." All of those sorts of positive and reinforcing things that would suggest the call had gone as well as you felt.
Sure. That's exactly what I expected to hear. But let me share with you what I heard verbatim, word for word. I'll never forget it. It's why we're all here today.
Yeah.
What they said was this. They said, "We're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information. And make sure we shop someplace else cheaper."
Oh.
Knife in heart twist. Jesse, I was in a state of shock.
Oh, wow.
I snapped out of it. I hit the off button, out of the wall, and I said to myself, "What did I do wrong?" I did everything I was taught to do by the books, the seminars, the coaches, the gurus, everything. And the first big epiphany hit me, and that was this. You can tell me what you think about this. That somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell. It's okay to say things like, sounds good. Send me information. Oh, I'll definitely think about it. Let me contemplate that without any intention of buying.
I'm just thinking to myself, I've done that too. I've been on the end of that and I've done that. And I'm just having this moment of guilt as we're recording.
Yeah. So that really hit me hard. I asked myself this question. Why were they afraid to tell me the truth? I'll be okay if I knew the truth. Why all the games and maybe chase them? And I realized that there is a deep, invisible river of pressure that flows underneath every conversation you have with a possible client, patient, or customer. Now, you can't see it and they can't see it, but it is there. When you have something to offer, what could easily happen is you can trigger that pressure to emerge. And their guard goes up and they feel permission to hold back from you what the truth is of what they're thinking. So all you're operating off of are what I call surface level information that really isn't the truth of what they're thinking. You end up chasing this ghost, someone who you think is interested, but never calls you back. And you ask yourself, we have so many patients, so many clients, so many customers, why are we losing so many on the road that are not coming back? And that's the big question mark that I've solved with this concept called trust-based selling, where we invented our own mindset shift called Unlock the Game, where the concept is you rise above the sales conversation. You don't wed yourself to the end goal anymore, but you become 100% present with the other person around their issues. And if you do it in a way that builds trust, they feel comfortable telling the truth, and you both can decide together if you're a fit or not. And that became our whole shift of thinking, which of course has now impacted 1,000 people in the world and my books and all that. And that's the real shift in thinking. And I can't tell you the irony of it all. Here's the irony of it all. When you let go of your goal of the sale and you focus 100% on trust with them, you double your sales.
That is ironic, isn't it? So I'm curious to ask, actually, just before we move on to the next thing, I'm curious to ask what the subsequent conversation with that company went like.
Great. So people ask me all the time, they say, what would you do if you knew what you knew now back then in that situation? And the answer to that is, well, first of all, I followed up with them. They never called me back.
Yeah.
But the real question is, what would I do now in that situation? The answer is this. The answer is, I never would have had the call. So I wouldn't have known up front on the first conversation what the agenda is and the truth of the situation.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what we'll talk about today.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit around the trust-based selling, because, you know, what I'm hearing is a mindset shift and huge shift in outcomes, but it requires a letting go process. It sounds very almost like a Buddhist approach to selling, doesn't it? Letting go of the outcome. What are the fundamental principles around trust-based selling that differ from, I guess, that traditional sales approach that you were schooled in?
Sure. So one of the core principles that we teach is the idea of always be diffusing pressure in the conversation, always thinking about how you can remove the friction, points of resistance in them trusting you. And we invented our own, what we call trust-based languaging, words and phrases used to activate that in real time. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say you're on the phone with somebody for the first time and they're a potential customer or client or patient, whatever, and it's a first conversation. And the call is going well. There's some chemistry there. Clearly, you can help them. They're interested. The call comes to an end. Typically in sales, we're taught to do what at the end of a call like that? To do what on the call? Move them where?
Move them forward.
Yeah, of course. That's the model that we've been conditioned to believe we're supposed to be doing. Our job is to move them forward. But what happens if you attempt to move them forward and they aren't ready yet and you do that to them?
Then they dig their heels in.
You break the trust at the beginning of your process. So same scenario. Call is going well. Call comes to an end. But our mindset and our languaging, Brian's saying, hey, how about you come into the office? How about you move forward? How about we go forward? What we say instead is this. We say, where do you think we should go from here?
They get to choose.
And now we're shifting the power back to them. And when you say to somebody, where do you think we should go from here? They're usually in a state of shock.
Yeah.
They can't believe a professional in business would actually ask them what they wanted to do. And that reveals and emerges the truth, because now they start things like, well, I've got one more question. Mm-hmm. Well, what about this? Well, what if, and now it opens up a dialogue, we can finally get to the bottom of what's on their mind. And that's the goal. Because if you focus on getting to the truth of people, then it erases all the negativity around selling.
Really, what you're doing is you're just opening the space for them to fill.
Beautifully said.
And you're saying, so where would you like to go from here? Or where do you think we should go from here? And if they're ready to move forward, they'll announce that and say, what's the next step, Ari, or whatever it is. Or as you've articulated, they'll come up with questions or maybe even the I'll think about it kind of conversation comes up. And I'm curious to ask if that does come up in your experience. Does that I'll think about it thing come up?
Well, usually when you say to somebody, where do you think we should go from here?
Yeah.
That gives them permission.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, what's on their mind.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that. So obviously there's that language that you're using there. What other principles underpin trust-based selling?
Sure. I'll give you one other one. And that's the principle of what we call always focus on getting to the truth of people. Now, What does that mean? What that means is having them feel comfortable opening up to you and being vulnerable enough to tell you where they stand so you know where you stand with them. You're not guessing or hoping it'll work out. Mm. I'll give you an example of this. Recently, someone called my office, got through my team, got to me on a scheduled call. I picked the phone up and I heard Mr. Galper. I said, yes. Mm. And he says, my name is John Johnson. I'm changing the name. And I'm with XYZ Company. We're looking to bring someone in to change our processes and our sales culture. We're looking at you and to other people right now. We'd like to know, first of all, why should we go with you? Why are you the best? And give me your best sales pitch.
Ooh, okay.
He says this to me inbound.
Yeah, wow.
Now he's expecting me to start doing what?
Pitch.
That's the game he operates in, you see? He's still in that game. So I took a deep breath. Of course, I'm a human being too. I got centered. I lowered my voice and I said this to him. What I said was this. I said, well, isn't that interesting? Big, long pause, space, like you said. Then I said to him, it just so happens over here at our company, we have a similar process to you where we ask some questions, gather information to see if we're a good fit. And if we're a good fit, we decided where to go from there. And I said to him, would you be open to that? Dead silence on the phone. Not a word. Then I felt this breath. He like breathed like a sigh of relief. He breathed. I can tell his shoulders came down.
Yeah, came down, yeah.
He became a human being again, took the sales armor off of him. He lowers his voice and he says to me, okay, what kind of questions do you have for me?
It's fantastic.
Next thing I know, within 5 minutes, I discover one, he's not a decision maker. Two, he has no budget. And three, he's just curious as to what I do. And off he went to a website for some videos and hung up the phone 5 minutes later. Now, what did my process there save me months of?
Calls, follow up, and frankly, emotional energy as much as time and energy, you know, the investment that goes into that. Why is it that you think just by, I noticed that you slowed down, I noticed you breathed, I noticed you lowered your tone, and I noticed the pause. What are those three things doing? What's actually happening psychologically, emotionally? What's going on?
Well, we discovered when you project energy to people early on in the process who don't trust you yet, you create pressure on them.
Mm.
It sends the message you're trying to move them to a next step. When you lower your tone of voice and are calm and centered and your languaging is trust-based languaging, they can't help but to engage and come towards you. See, we're taught in selling to be enthusiastic, excited, you know, show them a vision. And the minute you do that, it's over. Mm. They know that you're way past where they're at. So we're trying to sync up with the psychology of where the person's at that moment. and connect with them at a deep level versus making assumptions about the next step.
Taking the time to really understand that person that you are in dialogue with, what their situation is, what problems they're trying to solve. I know in the past when people have tried to sell to me, it's felt like that there was a solution. Yeah, it's the old story. Yeah, when the only tool you've got is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And so what I wanted to ask you about was the depth of understanding you have for those potential clients of yours as you're going through that process and how you get to that understanding. So you can go, yeah, I really get you and you get that I get you kind of thing.
Great question. So I'm actually working on a new book coming out this year called The One Call Sale, which is going to break this down. And in that is a metaphor of an iceberg, where typically with someone up front in your sales process, they only give you the top of the iceberg issues. They don't go below the iceberg because they don't trust you yet.
Yeah.
And your job is not to move them forward. Your job is to go down the iceberg. Different way of thinking, right? Yeah. So by the way, typical selling is about fishing with questions, asking questions to figure out what their problem is. And that used to work in the 80s and 90s and maybe 5 years ago, but now they're not going to share with you anything about their business unless, or their issues, unless you, they feel you understand them in advance. So what you have to do is you have to come up with your three or four core issues that you know your market or ideal clients have. And you have to basically open up the conversation and come down the iceberg with questions and languaging that helps them peel the onion back and unpack their issues and amplify the issue, then understand the gravity of it, and then see if they want to solve it or not. So a lot of this is giving them self-responsibility to see if they want to solve the issue or not. So it's not about the solution. It's about you understanding them better than they understand themselves. Because in many cases, as you probably know, customers, clients, patients, they say, I'm looking for this. And what we do is we go, our brain goes, ooh, they're qualified. Perfect. I can help them with, oh my God, they're like perfect for me. Let me show what I got. Come over here. See, our instinct is to qualify and then move. What's missing there is trust building. See, and in many cases, they might tell you what they want, but it's not what they need.
100%. So here's my question for you, going down the iceberg. Obviously, that's a process. It's hard to ask someone to be really vulnerable with you. So it's a process of gradually moving down the iceberg. What's the first step to go beneath the waterline?
Sure. Okay, great question. So let's say you're having a first call, a Zoom call it could be, with someone who could be a potential client of yours. Yep. A referral or whatever. First call. And typically on calls like that, what people in business do is they attempt to build a relationship with someone. They try and find out a social connection. How's the weather outside? How's it Brisbane? We try and find a connection to build a relationship with people. So our model is a different framework. It's more of a doctor-patient relationship, which is kind of coincidental that we're talking about your audience. But I use that same metaphor here applied to all businesses. You got to be the doctor and they're the patient. When you go see a doctor, they don't attempt to become your friend. No. What they do is they say, where does it hurt?
Yeah.
And you say, my shoulder hurts right here. And he says, let me take a look. Is it over here? I think we got an x-ray on you right away to make sure we understand the source of the problem so we can figure out what to prescribe to fix it, right? So there's no social friendship being created there. Yet in selling, we're taught that our job is to first build a relationship with someone.
Yep.
And what I discovered is relationship building and trust building are mutually exclusive. You don't have to do one to get the other, because one, they don't want to become your friend.
No.
They just met you. And two, they only want their problem solved.
Yep.
Yet what do we do? We just add in this layer of, oh, hey, mate, how's it going? Great. So we soften everything and it gets really messy. So our model is this. You diagnose, which is a term I'm sure your audience can relate to.
Yeah.
You diagnose their issues at such a level of clarity that they feel the sense of relief that finally someone understands them. You don't build relationships. You deliver clarity on their issues.
I totally get that. So have you heard the expression that people like to buy from those they know, like, and trust? Is that a myth? You know, is that only part of the truth, or is it just the trust bit of that that matters most?
I think that someone will eventually down the road, once they spend time getting to know you, play golf with you, have dinner with their family. Sure, that might happen. If you want to wait that long, it's up to you.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So,
but if you want to compress your sales cycle to one conversation.
Yeah, it's trust.
You might want to consider changing one's approach.
How do you know when it's time to go deeper? Is it a sense? Is there a cue? I'm a pretty process-driven guy, Ari. You know, maybe the dentist in me likes to have sequences and steps and checklists. And I know that, you know, dealing with humans is not quite as linear as that.
There actually is a framework around this and milestones. There
Great.
Are process. You're going to love this. There's processes, flowcharts, and checkpoints.
You are speaking my language. Yeah. Can you put that in a spreadsheet? Then I'll feel really happy.
So there are
that's fantastic
milestones down the iceberg that you want to ask about.
Yeah.
Generically, and then customize, like things like, how long has this been a problem for?
Yeah.
What have you done so far to solve this? How has this impacted you by not solving it? And what's the impact of that? And here's the final one. Here's when you know you got to the bottom of the iceberg.
Yep.
You ready for this?
Go for it.
You're going to say this. You're going to say, is this a priority for you?
Yeah.
To address and solve once and for all? Or is it something you have to live with and address later on down the road? And I'm okay either way.
Yeah. Wow. And again, you're defusing because I'm okay either way.
Always take the pressure out of the conversation because it's always there. If you're not alert to it and aware of that, you'll fall into the trap of you doing the talking, selling, and you'll move too fast towards the next step.
So if you take the pressure away and someone does say to you, you know what, Ari, thank you for saying that or words to that effect, I actually am okay living with it for a period of time and then I'll come back and sort that out. Obviously, we want to compress our sales cycle. I totally understand that. Those people that you've taken the pressure off and they've appreciated that, I guess you're creating space for them to come back to you when the time is right. Is that fair?
If it's not a priority to solve now,
yeah, it's not a priority.
Disengage.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Mm.
Drop them in your funnel somewhere and let them marinate for a while and let just hope they come back one day, but I wouldn't count on it.
Here's what I'd like to ask you, Ari, the relationship between marketing and sales, because we've spoken about, and you're writing a book on one-step selling, which again, I think is amazing. You said earlier that oftentimes in a sales conversation, we're sticking above the iceberg and we want to get below the iceberg. What are you doing before that one-step sale that allows you to get below the iceberg? Is it marketing? Is it trust building with information? Is it credibility? I mean, I want to understand the difference between credibility and trust in a minute. That's probably two different things. But can we just talk about what's happening pre that call, that one call?
Sure. That's to make the one call sale work ideally.
Yeah.
You want to be positioned as what I call a trusted authority.
Yeah.
In advance of the conversation with your potential prospects.
Got it.
The term marketing and funnels and all that is just making the phones ring, getting leads and making that whole thing work. But there's a whole new sophisticated level above that called trusted authority positioning, where they see you in advance of the conversation as the only one to solve their problem. Okay. And you have to create what I call trust assets that they have to consume or have in their hand prior to a conversation with you. Just like I sent you my trust box, in there are trust assets, right?
Yeah, 100%. I've got them in my hot little hand. So for the purposes of the video, probably a little harder on audio, I've got a couple of books in my hand. One's called Trusted Authority. The other is called Lessons from Toby. And over here we have Unlock the Sales Game, success stories from virtually every industry. So 100%, they are trust assets. I really like that. Can we just come back to trust versus credibility for a second? Because
sure.
I just touched on that for a moment. I think sometimes they get confused. Can you speak to
that? Great. Very astute questions, by the way. And I'll make one contention here, is that credibility has become commoditized.
Mm.
No longer is it a differentiator.
Okay. Tell me how it became.
What I mean by that is having a resume or a LinkedIn profile or case studies or an office, just because you have the same as everybody else is not an advantage anymore because everyone else has the same.
Mm.
Right? Previous to the world changing in the last few years is all about credibility. Looking like you're established and you have experience and you can do the job. Competence has been commoditized. Others can do a good job too in one's field. Now the customer can't discern who's competent and who's not until after they're a client.
Yeah.
So you can't use competence to show your customers that they should hire you. So you can't use competence, and credibility is pretty much mute.
Yep.
What's left?
Trust.
Trusted authority of positioning and trust inside the actual conversations, because a sale is lost or made in the conversation and nowhere else.
Ari, when it comes to sales, just to step back from trust-based selling for a moment, there are lots of views, myths, and so on and so forth. What are, in your mind, some of the most harmful myths going around when it comes to selling? Because I know there'll be people driving their car listening to this podcast going, what about this? And yeah, but what about that? And I'd like to just capture some of those myths. And from your experience, having worked with so many people in this space, what are the common myths that come up or the misconceptions that we just need to really educate people about so they can be clear about what's going on?
Sure. We need to clean out the mental hard drive first here.
Yeah, a bit of a defrag, just to go back to yourself for the days.
Defrag. There you go. I like that defrag. Yeah. Detox, decondition, de-brainwatch.
All of that.
But there's a classic one, and I'm sure you've heard this one before, and that is sales is a numbers game.
Yeah.
Right. The more contacts you make, supposedly the more sales you make. Right. Yeah. It's still around to the day. So my contention is this. In this economy now, sales no longer is a numbers game. Instead, it's about how deep you go on each conversation.
Mm.
How good you are at trust building, not how good you are at how many contacts you make or how many contacts you have or how big your network is.
Yep.
The second myth is the idea that the sale is lost at the end of the process. And I'm sure you've been there before. You had a deal pending that all looked great, that all boxes tick at the end, just kind of like fell through. You're like, what happened? They were like perfect for us. Doesn't make sense. Well, we discovered that the sale is not lost anymore at the end of the process. It's now lost at the beginning.
Mm.
At hello. And I'll prove it to you right now in a fun way. If someone calls your office tomorrow morning and you pick the phone and you hear, hi, my name is, I'm with, we are a, what goes through your mind in about 3 seconds?
Oh, they're going to sell me something.
It's over at hello. And I'm not suggesting that your audience does outbound calls, but I'll make the case that they're losing the opportunities at the beginning of the process and not the end.
I absolutely agree with you. And interestingly on that, yes, it's unlikely the dentists tend to make a lot of outbound sales calls, but we get a lot of inbound calls and we can lose the sale there at the beginning too. So I think you're absolutely spot on. And I'm curious to ask, what the remedy is?
Well, the remedy is to elevate the skill level of the person taking that call.
Yeah.
To rise above the conversation.
Mm.
To redirect the conversation to a place that's better for both people.
Yeah.
Where you build trust with them right at hello immediately with languaging in our process so you don't get caught up in being shopped. Because see, usually inbound calls is someone shopping for something.
Yes.
They think they're walking into a Westfield mall, going to the window shops and looking at different, looking around. I'm just calling to investigate. I am not looking to. But in our world, they think they're going to a shopping mall, but instead they're going to our clinic.
Yeah.
Or we're the doctor, we're diagnosing their problem, and they say to themselves, oh my God, how'd I get here?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a fun way.
So, Ari, when it comes to trust-based selling, are there any other myths or principles you think dentists need to be aware of as they're going through, thinking about how they can be better at this process? What else should they be considering?
Well, there's also this notion of rejection, that the rejection is part of the game of business. You have to accept no's. You have to accept people not agreeing with you, and just take the hit.
Yeah,
we've discovered that rejection actually is triggered by certain things you do unconsciously that causes the other person to put their guard up. For instance, a lot of professionals in business do this subconscious behavior unknowingly in their sales process and wonder why they reject. You know what that behavior is?
What's that?
It's called free consulting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially professionals who are experts. They have a tendency to want to educate and over-deliver as proof that they're competent. And the problem with free consulting is, as you know, usually when you give people information like that, they want to go back and think about it. They don't want to decide yes or no. And that starts the whole chasing process. We have a dysfunctional model of chasing people, hoping they'll call you back.
Yeah.
And then following up with them after that. In fact, I'll ask your listeners now to remove one key phrase forever as of today from a vocabulary never used again. And here it is. I'm going to ask you never again to use the phrase follow up ever again as of today with somebody on email or over the phone.
Okay.
What's the only industry in the world that uses the word follow up?
Sales.
Hi, I'm calling to follow up on our... The minute you use that phrase, it's over.
Yeah.
They connect you to the stereotype. There's also a few more classic ones. Remember from the old days, checking in, touching base. All those have been removed from your vocabulary, even on emails. Hi, I'm writing you to follow up on our last consultation. No, stop using sales languaging. Here's what you say instead. I'm giving you a call, giving you a ring to see if you have any feedback on our previous conversation, any feedback on our last meeting, any feedback on the report I sent you. See, feedback's going where? Not forward, it's going reverse, away from the pressure.
Yeah.
When you take the pressure out of the process, they come gravitate towards you.
Yeah, wow, I love that. It's subtle, but it's so powerful. And I think what I'm understanding from this conversation is there's lots of nuance.
Yes.
And it's not a sledgehammer approach. We're not cracking nuts. We are being really mindful of the person we're interacting with. We're taking the pressure out of every situation. We're creating that space for them to step into rather than us stepping into it, hoping to meet them.
Let me boil this down for you.
Yeah.
They have to feel that you actually care about them. And they're not going to feel that way if you're in sales mode.
That's really powerful. Ladies and gents, if you get nothing else out of this conversation, I'd really ask you to go back and listen to that last 30 seconds over and over and over again, because you really want people to know that you care and to feel that you care about them. And I think that's going to be key. What's that great saying, Ari? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
And that, if we reverse that, the funny thing is, as professionals, we think they want to hear about us and our solution to be credible. But the reality is, they really don't care about your solution. What they care about is if you're the one to solve their problem or not.
Mm.
But we think they want to know about what we have. Let me explain to you how it works. They're not really interested in how you solve it. Honestly, that's your world, not theirs. All they want to know is, can I trust you to do this right?
There is so many pearls of wisdom, Ari. Honestly, this is like a pearl farm, just, you know, wisdom going everywhere. Fantastic. What I'd really like to just round out our conversation with, Ari, is, as you know, people want to know more about you, they can visit unlockthegame.com. But if you were to leave our audience with a couple of extra pearls of wisdom or insights or thoughts or things that you think just, you know, I wish someone had told me that earlier, those kind of things, what would be one or two things that you think would really benefit our audience just to, you know, take away with them and to ponder or to think about or to indeed use in their day-to-day work?
So one of the books I sent you is called Lessons from Toby.
Mm.
That's about my son, Toby. When he was born, we were told about a day after he was born that he had Down syndrome. And at first, we didn't know what that meant to our lives. Then we realized we had a gift on our hands. And if you know somebody who has Down syndrome, you know they're beautiful people. They have no hidden agenda. They're full of love. They're transparent. And he influenced me so much. And it's all inside my work right now because of his influence on me. I wrote a book about him. And I learned that he's the role model that we have to become, because he has no agenda, hidden agenda with people. He's full of love and people connect with him. And why it's hard for us to do what he does so naturally. And he's kind of our hero in our business. And everyone's got my book, the book at their bedside, you know. And I think that's the real lesson for me and hopefully those listening is that we have to realize we have to let go of our own agenda in order to bridge the trust gap.
I really, really appreciate that. And I love it because it is actually so counterintuitive to what we've been thinking about taught before that it is really wonderful. Firstly, thank you for sending me a copy of the book. I've enjoyed it a great deal. And ladies and gents, if you want to get a copy of these books, I'd really encourage you to head across to Ari's website. Ari, where else can they get these books if they want to get a copy? Basically, go mainly to the website?
Yeah, just go to unlockthegame.com, just like it sounds. Pick them up there if you like. I mentioned to you earlier, I do a live streaming show once a month on LinkedIn called Stump the Guru, where they can jump on, bring me a scenario, and ask me a loud question in front of an audience there. And if you're open to addressing the blockage that you might have right now at the sales level of your business, then to me, this is the most natural way to remove the old frameworks and conditioning and be your natural self again, be authentic.
I think that's the key, isn't it? Because one of the things that when people get into business, and I run a consulting business, and I know you do too, and one of the things that I think people intuitively get worried about is, do I have to be something I'm not? Or do I have to turn into something I don't want to be? And the short answer is no, we want you to be you, to be authentically you.
Well, what happens is we bring what I call sales armor to work. We have a shield we have around us to prevent the bullets coming our way from the disappointment or rejection or the experience of selling to people. Yeah. And what I teach my clients to do is leave that armor on the side, be your authentic self. Now, I'm sure people listening are going to say, I'm authentic with people. I don't make stuff up. I'm not questioning your integrity or how authentic you are. What I'm suggesting is if people don't trust you at hello, something you're doing unconsciously is making that happen.
One of the things in dentistry we talk about there as well is just taking time with our patients, not trying to cycle them through and churn them through and really, really taking the time to understand, to go down the iceberg, the dental version of the iceberg at least, right? And so I think that's really valuable. So Ari, I just want to say thank you for really keeping it real and not kind of perpetuating the myth that sales is this high pressure, go get them, yeah thing. And what I really appreciated as well is because when you actually go through that process and you sell, you ultimately have a successful sale, you're going to get a better client. You're going to get a better patient. You're going to get a more willing participant in what you're trying to help them with rather than having someone sold, in inverted commas, into a solution that they're still resistant, that you might even have completed the sale, but are they really sold or not is the question. And so I really appreciate that, mate.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed listening to Ari and him share those massive amount of pearls of wisdom, please do head across to his website, unlockthegame.com, and also go across to his live stream on LinkedIn called Stump the Guru. There's going to be lots of things there for you. Do grab a copy of the books. I've found them really wonderful and really helpful, and I'm sure you will too. So Ari, once again, thanks so much for coming onto our program today. It's been wonderful to meet you at last and really understand what you do at a deeper level.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.